In our letters that come in, hundreds of them from all parts of the country. So oft times we hear from those who say, Brother Hibbard, I feel like taking my life. I feel like I've committed the unpardonable sin. I pray and I don't feel that God hears and answers my prayer. They're concerned about heaven. They're concerned about God. They're concerned about their soul. I oft time ask them, what have you done? What sin have you committed? I don't know of any, they'll say, but something seems to tell me that I've committed the unpardonable sin. Now let us, just for a few moments, use our good common horse sense. If the devil knew that you had committed the unpardonable sin, he'd be a very bad businessman to spend his good time telling you that you had done something, that if he knew that you had done it, there'd be no need in worrying and fooling with you because he'd already have you. Listen, friend, the very fact that there's something that keeps hounding you and something that keeps tormenting you, making you think that you've committed the unpardonable sin, is a fact within itself that you have not. We find that there are tormenting spirits, there are evil spirits, there are seducing spirits. And these spirits, let us turn to the Word of God in Revelation, and there we find the devil is the accuser of the brethren. If you'll notice, Jesus knew that he was the Son of God. We find that Satan the devil, he knew as well as anybody that Jesus was the Son of God. But what did he say when he approached the Son of God? It wasn't to confess him as the Son of God. He didn't come up and say, Jesus, I know you're the Son of God. Of course not. He came up and said, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to be turned to bread. My friend, he was trying to make Jesus doubt what he really was. There are many people today, honest-hearted, and the devil has hounded you. Maybe you haven't even voiced this opinion to your companion or to your pastor, but down in your heart, oft times, the old devil would say, well, you've committed the unpardonable sin. My friend, why? Because there's a few scriptures in the Bible, and they're taken out of their setting oft times, and the devil tries to hound them. Now, there's one found in Genesis, the 3rd chapter. I want to say it is possible for an individual to commit the unpardonable sin. But I wouldn't say that you can commit that just accidentally when you don't want to. You're honest and open-hearted. Paul the Apostle fought against the faith. He denied Jesus Christ and called him an impostor. He even persecuted those that believed on Jesus Christ. But he said God had mercy on him because he did that through ignorance. My friend, God is merciful today. He looks over ignorance. But here's the thing, my friend. If you willingly attribute the works of God to the devil when you know that they are God, or you willingly blaspheme the Holy Spirit consciously and you drive him from your heart, then you can willingly and easily do that. There's another thing is consistently, time after time, I don't know whether it'd be a month or a year or 2 years or 5 years or one time, 10 or 100, how many times the Spirit will strive. But listen, he has a will of his own. He can strive just so many times, and then he comes to the end of the rope. And in other words, he sees that you're determined to go to hell. There's no hope left. You're not going to do any better. You don't want to do any better. Listen, friend, as long as there's a spark of fire, Jesus said, a smoking flax, I will not quench. As long as there's a ray of hope of you making heaven, you want to repent. You're sorry of your guilt. You're sorry of the thing you've done wrong. You want to make heaven. God in his mercy is willing to step in and help you. But my friend, we find it's when people don't care. So then there's a scripture that says, my spirit will not always strive with men. That's in Genesis. But let's not take it out of its setting. We find that God looked down upon the wickedness of man. For years and years and years, the hearts of men were on evil continually. And it says that God could not find one just person upon the earth. And then, in spite of that, the Holy Spirit would strive from morning till night, only to see the world becoming more wicked, as the hours rolled on, until finally the earth was corrupt, and God said it was filled with violence, and the hearts of men were all only evil continually. They were eating, drinking, and marrying, and giving in marriage, and they had no time for God. In the midst of a condition like that, God's Spirit labored from morning till night until finally God said, my Spirit is not going to always strive with man. This setting here is not speaking of one individual that God's Spirit is knocked at the heart 2 or 3 times, and then the devil tells you that because you didn't respond just those times that God's forsaken you forever. No, we take it back to a setting when God had dealt for, no doubt, hundreds and hundreds of years upon the people upon this earth, the race of people, only to become more wicked, to become corrupt, which means to become worse all along. Then we take another scripture we find. It's found over here in the book of Micah, Hosea, where he's speaking of of this Ephraim. And he speaks about Ephraim, and he said, Ephraim is joined to his idols. Let him alone. Now, there's another time when God says concerning a man, just let him alone. You know, my friend, I'd rather most anything under heaven could be said than to have God say concerning me, just let him alone. Whenever God says, let a person alone, and God's through with you, he's not going to deal with you anymore. My friend, you're hopelessly and helplessly lost forever. And so we find that God said concerning Ephraim here, he said he's joined to his idols. That's from Isaiah, beginning at the 17th verse. And it says these words, Ephraim is joined to his idols. Let him alone. Now, why did God say let him alone? Is it because he just dealt with him one or two times? Oh, no. You read the context. You read the pretext. And you'll find that God labored and dealt with him year in and year out. And here's the reason why that God finally had to give him up. You notice now in the same book, and we find these words spoken here. It said, Ephraim, now notice his sin, his iniquity is bound up. And it said, his sins are hid. Notice those words now. His sins are hid. And whenever God finds an individual, you'll find those words that I just mentioned in the 12th verse of the 13th chapter of the book of Hosea. It's these words, the iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, and his sin is hid. Meaning he's hid his sins. Now, the scripture says in another place, he that hideth his sins shall not prosper. You can't do it. And if we come before God, we must open our hearts. You can't go on with hidden sins in your life and continue on that way. Now then, here's the result. On one side, Ephraim was very religious. He was very active in the service, in the church. On the other side, he had sin there that he wouldn't get rid of. And God said here in these words, he says that Ephraim is a cake unturned. Notice now, that's found in the 8th verse of the 7th chapter of Hosea. Ephraim hath mixed himself among the people, and he is a cake unturned. Cake unturned. All of you made pancakes, old, plain, common pancakes, that's all it is. Then we find on one side, they were good and brown. You remember when you turn the pancake, it's good and brown on one side, and the other side, it's just as raw. A lot of the blubbers as they come up, you know, it shows you it's getting ready to turn over. All right, on one side, just as raw and gummy, you could no more eat it than nothing. Suppose you'd sit down at a table, and someone would serve you some hot cakes, and they just let them get down on one side. The other side was just as raw and running as it could be, and they'd put them out there for you to pour syrup on that. Why, you wouldn't eat it. No. Now, God looked down at Ephraim, and he saw one side was all right. One side was religious points. But on the other side, he was a cake unturned. He had mixed himself among the people. You know why he was a cake unturned? It is because of the first thing. He had mixed himself among the people. If there's any one thing that God requires of a Christian and a child of God, it's a life of separation. If you'll notice, if you talk to people that have once had an experience with God and gone back, it's because they've run with the wrong crowd. It's because they begin to lay out of church. It's because they begin to live the wrong crowd. My friend, God said, come out from among them and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. God's word teaches sanctification. And the word sanctify means to cleanse and set aside and be separate. And in this case, the reason God gave him up, it is because he was determined. He was joined to his idol. He was determined not to let it go. He had sins hid in his life, and he would not confess those sins to God. He would not come clean. But my friend, when we open our heart to God and come clean with God, then God in his love and mercy will come clean with us. My, I wish I had about 35 minutes now to finish this message up. I see my time is about up. But my friend, listen, if you're backslidden away from God, sick and suffering in body, no matter what your needs are, that's our mission in coming tonight. As I've often said, the hundreds of requests that are pouring to radio land, and I'm glad that God is hearing and answering these prayers. We have thousands of testimonies in our office here in the city of Dallas. Anyone is invited to come in and see of how God has answered most everything that you can even think of. And so tonight, if you want to sit down and drop us a letter, do it tonight. Take this address now. It's Brother Hibbard, H-I-B-B-A-R-D, Dallas, Texas. And if you have an offering to enclose, the expense runs very high, close to $1,000 every week in carrying on all of our expenses connected with this radio work. And if you want to enclose an offering as you send the request, why, you can do that, and I'm sure God will bless you for it.
Well, friends, we're sorry, but time's up again for tonight. But tell your neighbor, we'll make another visit tomorrow night over at the Hibbert family. And every night at the same time, except Sunday. Now remember, friends, to send all mail to Reverend J.C. Hibbert, spelled H-I-B-B-A-R-D. Reverend J.C. Hibbert, Dallas, Texas.